When a strong man that is armed keeps his own home, his goods are safe. When a man who has good equipment, good weaponry, who is strong, protects his own home, the things he owns are safe. In this verse, Jesus is illustrating Satan. Satan is the one who is strong, he's well armed, and he has his house full of his people, and he has them securely. They can't get out. They are really stuck, and there's no getting out from that home. Satan is effective. Verse 22. But when a stronger than he shall come unto him and overcome him, the stronger takes from him all his armor wherein he trusted and divides the spoils. Who would that be, young disciples? Yesterday we talked about 13 steps that are in this book called Steps to Christ. This morning I want to part, say goodbye to you or many of you with this idea that all of those steps are about Jesus. Jesus is the stronger man. Jesus is the stronger man well armed. And when Jesus comes to Satan's home where Satan is holding you captive, You know who gets afraid at that point? Satan is no match for Jesus. Jesus is strong. He's well armed. And when Jesus conquers Satan and brings you into his own house, now verse 21 becomes a promise for you. Look back at verse 21. When the strong man armed keeps his own house, his goods are secure. That's the Malay version, translated into English. I am glad that I can be one of Jesus' goods. You have Bibles. You can do this. Don't turn. I'll just tell you because I want you to read something else here in Luke 11. I was going to have you turn to Malachi chapter 3. But I'm just going to tell you what it says, the last few verses there. It says that when Jesus returns, he's going to spare you, Really, the Father is going to spare you as a son would spare his own son that serves him. That when Jesus makes up his jewels, that we're going to be his jewels. I can be, you can be his diamond, his ruby, his emerald, his topaz, his sapphire. I just ran out of the list of all the gems I know. So we can be his precious jewels. We can be his precious items. And Jesus, when he's protecting his house, if Satan comes against it, what do you think? Can Satan break into that home and take the stuff? If Jesus is protecting his goods, can Satan break in and take the stuff? Isn't that good news? It's incredibly good news. Jesus is, to me, he is the one who is with me. So there's a lot of irony. If Jesus is the one who paid for my life, he's the one who goes with me where I go, he's the one who teaches me when I need to learn, he's the one who guides me when I need directions, Jesus is the one who's coming back for me, who made a house for me, Jesus is the one who loves me and created me. Really, there is so much about Jesus that is true in relation to me, that it's just a shameful thing if he doesn't get much attention from me. Some of you have cats, and you know that your cats know how to get attention. Right? If you give them no attention, they might jump on your lap. They'll come rub right up against your leg. They will do whatever to get attention. What Jesus has done, the one who paid for me, who built a house for me, who's coming for me, who created me, who teaches me, the strong man who keeps me, what he's done is given me an entire Bible that's designed to bring my attention to him, and Satan knows that there's no way that he can get inside that house. You are secure. So what Satan is really working to do, he's outside and he cannot attack that house. So he tries to get your attention through a window and invites you to come out. Are you going to go? It's not bright, right? You stay there, you're safe. You come out, you are so vulnerable. If you have Bible still open, it's probably open to Luke 11. Is that where you are? Look now back at verse 10. For everyone that asks receives, and he that seeks finds, and to him that knocks it will be opened. Do you think verse 10 means that anything you ask from anybody, you're going to get it? That would mean asking from God something God wants to give, right? And it's not like everything you seek for, you find it. No one ever finds the gold at the other end of the rainbow. It means if you seek God first, you're going to find him. Look at verse 11. If a son ask bread of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? If he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? So what I hear last night and every year at YD Camp in your testimony Saturday night is an appeal that you want to keep your experience when you go home. That's what I hear every time. I'm going to tell you, instead of keeping your experience, you can have a better one at home than you had here. A better one. And how do you have it? Here's how. You pray earnestly, hungrily, is that a word? Hungrily? It's hard to say it. You pray with hunger earnestly every day that God will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. You pray that he will give you his Holy Spirit. And if you look here in Luke 11, does it look like that that's for special people or is that for you? Is it for everybody or some people? Everybody that does what? But of course, you need to ask in a way where your whole spirit matches the words, right? So you're asking with some energy, Father in heaven, please give me your Holy Spirit. Here's what I know. If you do that every day, you will have a better experience at home than you've had at camp. I don't say it'll be more of an emotional experience, because with this many campers around, there's enough emotions to float a boat. There's a lot of emotion here and excitement, and you just can't, you're not going to have, aren't you glad you don't have that excitement all year? Wouldn't you just get so tired you couldn't even walk? Excitement can wear you down, but what you can have, you can be filled with the Spirit of God. That's Jesus with you. So I'm going to make an appeal. It's the same appeal I made at Piedmont Camp, and I made it in Austria. I made it in Germany. And let me tell you what I'm asking. You don't have to come forward. I'm going to ask you to raise your hand if you are willing to do it. I'm going to ask you to choose that for the next 40 days. What day is today? What day of July? 40 days would probably take you to about September 2. Some of you can do the math, but that's about what I think. Somewhere around September 2. I want you to choose, some people to choose, that every day for the next 40 days, you're going to earnestly pray that God will baptize you and fill you with his Holy Spirit. If you will do that, I think that you will develop a habit that you'll keep doing for your entire life. I say 40 days just to make it a habit. My experience is that I am so pleased with the promise of Luke 11 that Jesus is willing to be with me, to teach me, to guide me, to be my strong man. I want to stay in his home. So here it goes without any further ado. Who here is willing to agree for the next 40 days to pray every day that God will fill you and baptize you with his Spirit? Can I see the hands of those who are willing to do that? So I am so pleased. Here's what I think. If we ask, he will give. If we seek that, we will find. If we knock on that door, it will be opened. I don't think that's true about other things you might ask for. That's not true about everything you would look for. That's not true about every door you would knock on, but it's true about that one. And if we have that, every gift that you want, every gift that I want comes with the gift of the Holy Spirit. That is how you overcome your nasty character traits. You know, the ones that only your siblings know about? I know something about that, because when I find a brother and sister here at camp, and you both seem like just super sweet people to me, and I ask one of you what the other one is like, I almost always get a comment like, you should see, like there's something I haven't seen. Almost always I get that. What fixes that? It's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit in us is what adds power to our choice to turn away from those things. That's what makes us different. You know how the disciples used to argue about who is the greatest? Do you remember that? What changed that was when they were filled with the Holy Spirit. When they were filled with the Holy Spirit, no longer were they ignorant and uncultured men. No longer were they always kind of in factions. They ended up being a unit. Thinking about that unified unit thing we do at camp. That's what made the disciples into a unit, was being filled with the Spirit. When they had that, that made them effective at evangelism. That made them courageous. It made them bold. It made them wise. It made them cultured. It made them sweet. It made them tactful. Why? Being filled with the Spirit, it's just what we need. And if you have that, then you are securely in the house. Jesus is the strong man armed, and Satan just can't do anything about that. If we don't have the Spirit, we're like one of those dry river beds. We're like a hot air balloon full of cold air. We're like a diesel with unleaded in it. I am just fishing for ways to explain why we should be begging for this thing. So let me summarize all I've said, and I'll stop, and we'll be done, and then you'll have to listen to other people tell you what to do. I think that camp can be the beginning of the most wonderful thing. I think at home you can be powerful young disciples. I think that you can have a stable, steady experience all year long. I think you can grow and grow and grow. And I think that the key is to have Jesus with you. And the way you have him with you practically is to ask, to hunger and ask. It's both. They go together, don't they? To hunger and to ask. Not to ask the way you say a blessing for your food, but different. To earnestly ask him to fill you with his Spirit, and then to believe that he, for his sake, does that. And that's where true revival comes from. That's why, since you said many of you are going to do that for 40 days, I think you're going to do it for 358 days till I see you next, something like that. And it's going to be a wonderful thing to see your bright, shiny faces when you come back. I'm just sure of it. Amen. Let's kneel for a closing prayer. Our Father in heaven, I'm sorry that we have been so unappreciative of the best gift you have for us. I ask that you'd pardon us for how we've neglected to ask and seek and knock when you've invited us so plainly to have your Spirit. As we have poor memories and bad habits and troubles, would you please remind those here tomorrow and the next day and all the way until early September about their need to ask for your Holy Spirit? Please help us to follow through, and then give us the promise that we read in Luke 11. More than our parents would give us food, you give us that Spirit that we need. Finish what you've started in us. I ask in the name of Jesus. Amen.